The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, we're going to have a little fun here for three segments of the show. All right, we're going to have a little fun. Let's bring that up in the background. We got that going. Let's bring him a little. Oh, yeah. Check it out. Let's go. Let's spend some money, people. Let's spend some stimulus money, shall we? $1,400 per individual plus per dependent. So like in the Noble House, it's $1,400 for me, $1,400 for Gina, $1,400 for Caroline, and then $1,400 for Clay. I think $1,400 too, probably for Amelia. And so that's $7,000 coming our way from Joe Biden and the Democrats. $450 billion in stimulus money coming your way. What are you going to do with it? Okay, enough of that before we get in trouble. What are you going to do with your stimulus money? $450 billion, that's $1,400 per individual and per independent, per dependent, I mean. And if you make, if you're an individual who makes 80 grand or more, you're not going to get a full 1,400. You're going to get less than that. And if you're a married couple, filing as a married couple, and you make over 160K, nope, you're going to get a reduced amount as well. But for the rest of us, 159 million households will get stimulus money. 100 million checks, Joe Biden said, will be out within the first 10 days, starting March over the weekend. Because we know some people that got, young people that got the money in their bank account, direct deposit, baby, Saturday morning. Boom! You had $27 in your bank account when you went to bed Friday night after spending $20 on Amazon Prime. And then, boom, the next morning, you've got $1,400. You've got mail, $1,400. Boom. So I'm going to get into your business a little bit here today. And just curious, what are you going to do with your stimulus money? $1,400 per individual plus $1,400 per dependent. So if you have two kids at home, you and your spouse and two kids at home, that's $1,400 times four. Right, that's a lot of money, right? It's $5,600. $5,600. So what are you going to do with your stimulus money? That's the deal. That's what I want to know. Now, there is a, I do have an ulterior motive here behind asking the question, which I'll get to before the end of the show. We're going to talk about this for three segments today, and I want to take your call. So please give me a call. If you want to be anonymous, that's fine. I'm not going to make fun of anybody. I'm just doing, this is just a little information gathering, and then I'll kind of wrap it up before we get to the fourth segment. The fourth segment, we're going to talk about something we need to continue to talk about, which is the state of education in America, specifically here in North Carolina, with our friend Sloan Rackmuth, who's with Education First Alliance North Carolina, and they are fighting the good fight because there's so much garbage going into our schools. And North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson today earlier had a press conference at about 2 o'clock that he's starting a special pulling a group together. Can't remember what they call them. Special investigation, basically, into the indoctrination in our schools. And if you know anything about Black Lives Matter and then critical race theory and intersectionality, all that stuff's being dumped into our school system right down to kindergarten level. And so we need to keep an eye on that. And especially now that Congress is controlled by leftists as well as the executive branch. And so we're going to talk to Sloan in the fourth segment. But I'm curious, what are you going to do with your stimulus money? Okay, 866-348-7884 is the number. And again, if you want to call in and be anonymous, we'll just ask you what city you live in and we'll leave it at that. And I'm not going to tease anybody. You call in and say, hey, I'm going to spend it on tattoos. Okay, fine. If that's what you, I'm going to spend it on a trip to, I'm going to buy some airfare down to over to Cabo San Lucas. Okay, fine. You're going to spend it on a dental bill, whatever. I'm just curious how you're going to spend your stimulus money. Is that a big deal? Is it going to be a blessing to you? Maybe you're in a really bad spot and this is like an answer to prayer. I'd like to hear about that as well. 866 866-348-7884 is the phone number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Again, no shame here on the show today. I'm not calling you. I'm not asking you to call in so that I can tease you or shame you or do anything. I'm just curious how we're going to be using the stimulus money that we're getting, $1,400 per individual plus $1,400 per dependent, assuming in your household you don't make more than $160K. The vast majority of us don't. There's 159 million households that are getting stimulus money, 100 million checks, President Biden said, will go out in the first 10 days. And that's based on adjusted gross income, by the way. So you have your regular W-2 income, 1099 income, all that stuff. That's your gross income. Then you have your adjusted gross income. All after all the as many deductions as you can find, then you get your adjusted gross income. So like now the standardized deduction is what? Like 24 grand or something. So you make 100, standardized deduction 24. Now you're down to 76. And so you're clearly within the range of stimulus money. $1,400 per person. What are you going to do with your stimulus money? Please give me a call. I'd like to see how we're all going to be spending it. In the Noble House, it could be it should be more than $2,800. It might be as much as $7,000, seven large, coming from the U.S. government into the Noble House. What are we going to do with it? And I'm going to suggest some things before we're done. 866-348-7884 or 866-3. It is Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones University. And last week, if you recall, we were talking about the theology of the tongue and the story that you tell about yourself and about your faith with the way you communicate. And that's not just verbally. That's also, of course, what we talk about on social media. So for me, that's a big tough spot. That's a blind spot sometimes for me because of what I do. And so with Alan Benson, who was on last week, I'm like, dude, this is like it's personal or something. Today, I guess we're still staying in the Let's Bug Steve Noble lane because we're talking about the theology of media technology and taking charge of it for God's purposes. Last time I was down at BJU, I had the pleasure of spending a show with Dr. Gary Weir, who's the provost and executive vice president for academic affairs and the chief academic officer at Bob Jones University. Gary, welcome to a really smooth start. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Steve. It's good to see you. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on and really looking forward to this. So we have about a minute and a half before we hit the break.
Awesome.
So why is this on your radar screen? Because I just shared and I'll share on Facebook Live for all of you. Gary just wrote an incredible piece about this. So it's like a blog post about technology. But why is this on your radar screen?
Well, it's on my radar because I think a lot of people in our culture, and understandably so, think of technology as always being neutral. In other words, it just depends on the purpose we use it for. If we use it for a good purpose, then it's fine. And if we use it for a bad purpose, of course, that's not pleasing to our Lord. But we don't think about how the technology many times is affecting us regardless of the purpose for which we're using it. So that's one of the key reasons it's on my radar. And of course, technology is a part of our everyday life. I mean, we love using technology, and technology is a great gift from God, but we don't often take the time to think about the roles that it plays in our lives.
Right, and the impact that it has on you. Even if you're not using it for nefarious purposes, it's still impacting you. If you're using it for great purposes, obviously that's wonderful, but how do we approach technology in general from a theological perspective? What does the Bible say? We're going to talk about that today on Theology Thursday. Theology Thursday and technology. I haven't enjoyed it for the first 5 minutes, but hopefully it'll get better from there. We're here with Dr. Gary Weir. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. And it's Theology Thursday. Today, coincidentally, some might say providentially, others might say demonically, we're talking about the theology of technology as we had a really rough start and some connection issues. But we're back now, so we're actually live. This isn't a pre-recorded show. This is happening right now. And by the way, if you want a little extra content and you're listening on the radio, which is awesome, we love all our radio partners. And that's how all this got started in the first place. But also, we're also on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. So if you go to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook or if you go on YouTube, then you'll be right here in the studio, not only here at the studio where I'm at, but also down with our friends at Bob Jones University with Dr. Gary Weir today, who's a provost down there, executive vice president for academic affairs, and the chief academic officer there at Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. So we have some sidebar conversations on the commercial breaks. Sometimes we go a little bit deeper in the context of the show. So there's about 14 extra minutes of content between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, when we're doing this. So when I have a guest, now if it's just me, which is usually what's happening on the show, then I will have a sidebar conversation with you. So I have a different relationship with my Facebook and YouTube audience than I do with radio, because that's a little more two-way, because we actually can talk there on Facebook. So make sure you take advantage of that, and there's some more content there. Today, talking about the theology of media technology, and Gary, you were mentioning at the top of the show, once we got started, that technology is, we often think of it as, it's good when I'm using it for good things, it's bad when I'm using it for bad things, which are pretty obvious. But other than that, it's for the most part neutral, but you're taking a position, and I shared the blog post, that actually it isn't. And so what do you mean by that?
Yeah, regardless of what purpose we're using it for, it can affect us. John Dyer, who is he's a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, he's written a lot of good stuff about this. A book he has called From the Garden of the City uses a really simple, clear example to help illustrate this. A shovel's a tool. A shovel's a form of technology. And I could use a tool for a good purpose, like to dig a hole for a foundation for building an orphanage. Or I can use it for an evil purpose. I can dig a hole to bury some money that I've stolen to hide it. Clearly different purposes there. But regardless of the purpose I'm using it for, it can have the same effect on me. It can build certain muscles in my body, my arms particularly. It can give me calluses or blisters on my hand. Even if I'm using it for a good thing, that tool or that technology is going to have an effect on me. And that's, if we're not careful, that's one of the things that we overlook in all the technology that we use, but particularly with media technology.
Now, let me throw this into the conversation with respect to this point, and then we'll move on. But in terms of, okay, technology is affecting me all the time. It's either positive or negative. I think after this many years, you know, the iPhone, iPhone 12, iPhone 13, they've been around for 12 or 13 years. They got social media and stuff that's been around for over 10 years now. I think largely that the impact or the effect of that shovel, if you will, has been negative. And I can kind of see that in the way I communicate with other people, the way I react. So just dealing with the technology has had an effect on me, but I never really stopped to think about it until I was reading this blog post. So my assumption is most of the impact technology has had on us, and we're talking specifically media technology, has been negative. Or am I just being a curmudgeon?
No, I think you're largely correct about that. But again, we can broaden the perspective on this. And I would say that over the last 500-600 years, there have been some key media technologies that have been developed that really have affected society. We go back to the invention of the printing press.
Yeah.
The invention of the printing press changed culture significantly. It created a demand for literacy. But it also, one of the effects it had is people no longer thought that ideas were within people, ideas now shifted toward books. And of course, from a Christian perspective, the printing press was key for the Reformation, to put God's words in people's hands. So you could fast forward to the 19th century with telephone and telegraph. That changed culture dramatically. Photographs changed culture dramatically. We shifted from ideas in written words to images. Then television and radio, which really impacted culture of prioritizing entertainment, leisure time through that. And as you were just pointing out, you fast forward to the digital era, and it's impacted culture and how we relate to one another in very significant ways. And when we're not careful, it is on balance more negative than it is positive. So you can't just throw it out.
Right. You can't just throw it out. And as much as I was just talking in some of my history classes this week, as well as in my civics courses. And I, by the way, I use Bob Jones University Press information for that. I use the textbooks. But just talking about the impact of what's going on in the world around you. And you could be like the Amish and you just completely disengage. You go out in the middle of Pennsylvania. William Penn, he was all about religious tolerance. And so we're just going to be in Pennsylvania. We're going to do our own thing. The world can modernize, but we won't. So they really took that don't be of the world seriously. But for us, this is a part of our everyday lives. And this kind of goes on to the second point. We're talking to Dr. Gary Weir from Bob Jones University on Theology Thursday today about technology and the theology of media technology. So the second point in the blog post, which I shared on Facebook Live for everybody, since technology is a part of our everyday lives, Gary, we should prioritize, this is what you wrote, prioritize engaging our biblical worldview to understand technology and particularly the theological underpinnings to using it. What does that mean?
Yeah, first of all, I would start, and maybe I'm jumping ahead of here a little bit, but first of all, I think recognizing it's a gift from God. Mm. You know, technology is not inherently evil. I think Scripture implies a certain kind of progress through technology. God didn't give us everything. I mean, he didn't literally give us bread. He gave us, you know, grain exists, but we figure out how to create bread. We figure out how to maximize crops and so forth. So I think recognizing that, again, Scripture starts in a garden, it ends in a city, there is this idea of progress. That's one part. I think another key part is exercising discernment. Paul writes about that in Philippians 1, that it's not an undiscerning love that we're to have. It's a love that is growing in discernment and knowledge so that we can live these pure and blameless lives, determining what is excellent, what the effect is. I think that's a big part of it, because in our fallen nature, we are going to misuse things and misunderstand how things are affecting us and how they ought to be used. Peter writes about it as well, that, you know, we're to gird up the loins of our mind. We're to prepare our minds for action,
yeah,
considering the culture that we're a part of.
Yeah, and that transformed by the renewing of your mind. So discernment,
right,
which I think is particularly in the cultural context as well as the political context, in the last year and a half, when people would ask me, hey, Steve, how can I pray for you at the radio show and all that kind of stuff? My number one prayer request was for discernment.
Yeah.
But I was applying it in a kind of a cultural, political context. But help us to unpack that a little bit, Gary, so we understand. As Christians, when we use the word discernment, what are we talking about?
It's making wise judgments. It's doing exactly what we read about in Proverbs and recognizing that we are to pursue wisdom, which, you know, doesn't just fall into our laps, as Proverbs 2 tells us. We're to search for it like we would search for hidden gold. And I love the way that chapter unfolds, because in the middle of it talks about, if you do pursue wisdom that way in humility, it will come into your heart. Mm. God will give it to you. But our problem, for the most part, is we tend to go toward the easy, the simple, the quick,
yeah,
rather than thinking things through. And that's how, from God's perspective, that's how wisdom is developed.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to take that. We're going to go into four thoughts, really, that come right from God's word on to help us get started down the road of taking charge of technology. We'll be right back.
Give an exchange for your soul.
Yep, that's a good question.
Who you are is, it's more than your eternal destiny. That's foundational. But who you are as a person. Really.
Great point. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. It is Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones University and Bob Jones Seminary down in Greenville, South Carolina. And we've got Gary's back in the house, Dr. Gary Weir, who we did a show with when I was down in Greenville a couple of months ago, when we started discussing maybe there's some partnership things that we can do here together, and agreed together that we would do Theology Thursdays because they have a great bench of incredible biblical wisdom and knowledge down there. And that's the whole point of Theology Thursdays, which I've been doing Theology Thursdays for, gosh, over 5 years now. And so I use my ability, because I have a platform, to go after people. I'm basically recruiting. And I'm going to go, okay, I'm going to go find some people that I can partner with that have a deep bench, theologically speaking, and can bring a lot of people to the air once a week on Thursdays. And we go to the deep end of the pool. Well, oftentimes on the show, we're talking about cultural issues, we're talking about political issues. I'll bring on different thought leaders. We spent the whole hour yesterday with George Barna Research, talking about the definition of Christian in America, that you've got 68% of Americans that will self-identify as Christian, but only 6% of Americans are actually living out of a solid biblical worldview. And you got to understand that. But on Thursdays, we specifically set aside, go to the deep end of the pool, theological caps on, and talk about all of life from a theological perspective. So today with Gary Weir, we're talking about technology, the theology of media technology, and not just, hey, spending time on the Bible app is good, spending time on online porn is bad, thanks for tuning in. No, this is a lot deeper than that, and understanding what technology does to you and your understanding of it, even when you're doing non-nefarious things on there. So we're working through just an incredible blog post that Gary wrote. I shared that. The links are up on Facebook Live. And by the way, if you're a pastor, or you should share this with your pastor, there's also a copy of this, The Theology of Media Technology, on a website that's strictly for pastors, all in pastoralresources.com. They also have a member-only page on Facebook. So all in, this is specifically for pastors. So even with The Theology of Media Technology, there's some other things there that you can use for your congregation to kind of look at what are you doing with technology. So we're trying to bring you a lot of tools, either if you're in the pew like most of us, or if you're up on the podium with pastors, we want to be able to serve the whole body of Christ, which is what we're doing. So again, Gary, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
You're welcome. And so we were kind of working our way through this blog, which is awesome. And we're on to the third point. Here are four thoughts direct from God's Word on that get us started down the road to taking charge of technology, realizing what it the kind of impact it has on us and how we should use it. So let's just work through those four points would be great. Number one, being recognized that technology is, in fact, a gift from God. You were just talking about this. And I love that how you mentioned, Gary, hey, the whole story of redemption, you get in the Bible, go to the front cover, you're in a garden, go to the back cover, you're in a city. So progress is part of the deal. And you mentioned, hey, we have bread, but where does that come from? Well, there's wheat, and then who created all that? To use my simplistic street-level language, I go, okay, God creates all the Lego, throws it in the box, and then he's like, okay, you guys take the Lego and go do something, hopefully, for my glory and for your good. So help us understand technology from that perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great illustration that you just used right there. But it goes back to the creation mandate that we're to rule this earth under God's authority. So there are all kinds of latent or hidden possibilities in God's created order that he allows us to use and discover. I mean, who wants to – we're blessed to live in this 21st century. You know, electricity,
yeah.
Indoor plumbing, transportation. These are all medicine that we have today.
Yep.
And, of course, we're not going to go into the pandemic because
– I was just about to go there. Thanks for stopping me.
But, I mean, the point is this technology truly is a gift from our God. I think that's foundational to this. But when it comes to media technology, and this leads into the second point, we have to recognize this could be a pretty big distraction for us.
Yeah, and a distraction from God's purpose for your life.
Exactly.
It's not just it's a poor use of time.
That's right. I mean, it's so easy to get caught up in the here and now, particularly through media technology. We were talking earlier, it is made to be addictive. Mm. People smarter than me, people more creative than me want to monetize my time, my attention. I think it was A.W. Tozer who said that the most important thing about the church, about believers, is what comes to their mind when they think about God.
Mm. Yeah.
And we get so caught up in what's on our social media feeds or maybe binge watching on YouTube or Netflix that God is he's just so distant from us. And we don't take time to think because this isn't the only way to think of who we are. But in some ways, you can think about it from this perspective. We are largely what we pay attention to.
Yeah, yeah.
And these devices are intended to addict our attention in particular kinds of ways. And I want to be really careful to say that doesn't mean that we are these helpless, passive creatures that can't do anything about it. The point is we need to be more intentional about it.
Exactly. You mentioned this in the blog post that I shared up on Facebook, so you guys can check that out for yourself and share that far and wide, because I think if we're being honest and or the guy and James look in the mirror, you're going to see that we all have a problem with this. This one particularly in the second point. This is what Gary wrote. During our micro breaks, I circled that one, we pick up our phones to see what will capture our attention, reflecting how, on a larger scale, technology can hinder us from setting our minds on things above. That's Colossians 3:2, which says the following. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Okay, this is a much higher calling, but that set your minds on things above. Micro breaks to me, Gary, is like every second that I'm not talking or doing something. It's shocking to me. I'm holding my iPhone right here. It's shocking to me, and everybody can attest to this, that it's inflection. It's like a natural reflex now that I reach for my phone. For what reason? Like, really, what happened in the last 3 minutes that's going to alter the course of my life? And to your point, I mentioned this on the break. I read a huge article last year. I got to find it so I can share it. Talking about social media giants, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they all have clinical psychologists and psychiatrists on staff to design the system for maximum grab and retention. So we're being manipulated. That's why we have to understand when we're allowing this to happen, we're not setting our minds on things above. We're completely wrapped up in the world.
Yeah, and isn't it ironic? I mean, you called it that. We still call these devices our phones, and that's probably the least that we use it for.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're using it for other purposes because, again, I mean, this can sound sinister, and I don't mean it to come that way. And maybe this is a little bit of a sideline, but people are many times concerned about what the data that the government has about us, and I understand that concern. And
sure.
I always tell my students here, I wouldn't fear the government. I fear Google because Google has a profit motive.
Yeah.
The government has proved that it does not have a profit motive. And, you know, I don't mean to get into the politics of all of that on debt and everything, but people are trying to monetize, make money off of,
sure.
of who we are. And they're smart, creative people that are doing that. So, again, it's about being more intentional about this.
And that's why I think knowing that and going, okay, we know how these things are built, that to your third point, confess that media technology can also become an idol. And there's no doubt that it does have an idol effect in my life, because you know what's an idol by what you give your time to.
That's right. And we look to these kinds of devices to find satisfaction in different kinds of ways. So, for example, again, and this goes back to how some of these tools are designed. You know, if for those that are a little older watching the show and remembering the original Facebook and the way it worked, it was literally your network and the posts from your network in chronological order. But when these clinical psychologists, as you put it, figured out that there were different ways to get people to engage and stay with it, they started creating more features like the like button. I mean, the like button totally transformed social media, and that we now use it not just to keep up with our friends or our family that may be away from us, which is, again, an excellent thing to do. I mean, my daughter lived in Uganda for 2 years. Praise the Lord for FaceTime.
Yes.
I mean, we were able to keep up with her. But now, instead of just posting to keep up with people, we post to get satisfaction in how many likes am I going to get?
Yeah.
How many people are going to share this?
Right.
And again, there's nothing wrong with communicating something that people would want to share or that they would affirm. But when that becomes our identity, you know, how much affirmation I get through the likes that I get and so forth, that's when this starts to become an idol, and we need to examine ourselves.
Yeah, there was an article that just came out in the last week, Gary, and we're talking to Dr. Gary Weir, a provost and executive vice president for academic affairs at Bob Jones University. It's Theology Thursday in our official partnership. Now, that they came out that they finally willing to confess, and big tech is like, yep, this is a problem. Specifically on Instagram and the impact it's having on young girls, teenage girls. Like, we're serious impact. We're talking about depression. We're talking about anxiety. We're talking about eating disorders, all of these things, because they're comparing themselves to a norm or a standard that's literally a lie. It's literally like a green screen kind of a movie effect. And they came out and said, yes, this is actually what's happening. And so that idolatry in the 21st century is just as dangerous as it was when we melted down our jewelry and turned it into a calf. That's the same problem. Because things never change with the human heart. We're talking to Dr. Gary Weir, Provost and Executive Vice President for Academic Affairs at Bob Jones University. It is Theology Thursday. One more thing, the fourth point, talking about being intentional. And then what are some practical steps we can all employ to taking charge of what we do with media technology so that we can use it for God's glory as well as our own good? We'll be right back.
Yep. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones University and Bob Jones Seminary. We're here today with Dr. Gary Weir, who was on the show before when I was down in South Carolina. So I'm really excited to have you back on, Gary, and I look forward to doing this again in the future. He's the Provost and Executive Vice President for Academic Affairs at Bob Jones University, as well as working down there around the seminary. But today we're talking about the theology of technology, specifically media technology. Okay, so it really, there's a lot to work through here. We're basing our conversation off of an excellent blog post that Gary just wrote. I posted that in a couple places. If you're a pastor, please follow the link that I put up that will take you to a website, allinpastoralresources.com, because there's all kinds of tools and things that BJU is in the seminary specifically is developing and sharing to help you in your role as a pastor. So that's there, as well as just the regular link to the BJU University Seminary Viewpoints, as well as the seminary. But those are all there, so you can work through this yourself. There's some questions at the end that we're going to get to that are very helpful, very convicting. But that's the whole purpose of Theology Thursdays, is to go into the deep end of the pool and see what God's Word has to say about all these basic things in our lives. So like next week, we'll have Dr. Sam Horn, who's a new addition right back to BJU. He's a brilliant guy. So he'll
Absolutely.
Be on next week. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare in the culture. That should sound familiar to everybody. So that'll be Theology Thursday this week. But again, Gary, thanks for walking us down this road today. It's really important.
Well, good to be with you, Steve.
Okay, so we were finishing up this fourth point. With all this in mind, be intentional about employing media technology for God's purposes. So how do we kind of, intentionality is important, but using it for God's purposes, what do we mean by that?
I think it begins as simply with that statement, and that is because there's such a tendency to be passive or not thoughtful about technology, because it is such a part of our everyday life. It's an extension of who we are. These tools just, I mean, we literally carry them around with us. It is taking that time to be intentional. It is, I want to make some choices about this. So, for example, I'll just give a personal example. When our kids got old enough to desire having social media accounts, which we know is, especially in today's world, is fairly young, it was actually an easier decision for my wife and I to, you know, get them to start taking driver's ed and get their driver's license. But to have a social media account, that's a whole nother world. Wow, I mean, think about even that example where we make them go through training to drive a car, but many times it's, well, just have the social media account. So we had them study Proverbs and say, so how does technology affect your relationships?
Wow.
How does technology affect the way that you think about God? I had them read a chapter from a really good book that you wouldn't think would be associated with this, but T. David Gordon, his book, Why Johnny Can't Sing Hymns, is an excellent chapter in there about how we just tend to live in the present. The idea of contemporaneity being a value rather than valuing the past and rather than valuing eternity. So having them think through, you know, how is this kind of technology going to cause me to live in the moment rather than thinking about eternity instead. So that's a way of really being intentional about this. Don't just hand over tools to ourselves or to others that without giving it much thought.
Yeah, and I mentioned the whole issue with Instagram and teen girls. I just pulled this up. This was a Wall Street Journal. Here's the headline. Facebook knows Instagram is toxic for teen girls, company documents show, byline. Its own in-depth research shows a significant teen mental health issue that Facebook plays down in public. So I mean, that's so deeply convicting for us as parents. And that's such a beautiful example, Gary, that you got to, we train our kids. We make them do 60 hours of driving here in North Carolina before they can actually get their license. But on this hand, with digital media, social media, we just get them a phone and off they go. No training, no understanding, no discernment whatsoever. And obviously we're seeing the effects. So practical steps to taking charge. There's kind of a diagnostic tool here in the blog post and asks us some very serious questions that I haven't been enjoying at all.
Sorry about that. And actually, this media class I teach, my students right now are going through a media fast. It's a rather short one. And we get to talk about these kinds of issues. So, you know, if you're very easily distracted, and again, it gets back to what you said earlier about clinical psychologists designing things. I mean, these notifications are designed that way. The buzzing, the pinging, you know, the little red circle with a number in the middle of it. It's like, I got a task list here. I got to do something about it. So if you're easily distracted by those kinds of things, maybe a good idea is to turn off those notifications. If you're constantly going to social media and just, you know, endlessly scrolling and recognize, okay, it's been an hour and I never intended an hour to do this, don't get off of social media, but maybe have social media only on your computer and not on your phone. So you have to intentionally log in and do something that way instead. I think that's another practical thing that people can do.
This next question was difficult. I actually dealt with this and shared a story last week when Alan was on. We were talking about the theology of the tongue and what kind of story are we telling about ourselves and the gospel and the way we communicate. Do you post out of pride or desire for reactions? Yikes.
And again, that is a tough one because we have to recognize, you know, we are sinners. You know, we still live with the flesh.
Yeah.
And that makes us long for heaven. We are not going to reach a state of perfection. So living with mixed motives of, you know, sometimes we do have good, pure motives, but they're mixed sometimes with pride. We just need to be aware of it. And this is something that has definitely been on my mind lately, is just the beauty of, I believe it's 1 John, where the scripture tells us if we sin, because we are going to sin, we have an advocate. I mean, we have to deal with these things in our lives, but God has not left us hopeless and helpless. We do have an advocate. So yeah, these kinds of questions can be rather convicting, but we're never going to reach that standard of perfection. It's what we do when we recognize, okay, I blew it there, or I need to rethink how I'm using this particular tool. I think it's really important.
Yeah, and so, all right, just because I like to bludgeon myself in public, you can go to your phone. I'm literally doing this right now. You can go to your screen time under settings, okay? You go to screen time. Daily average settings. Daily average time. 7 hours.
That's
7 hours. That's totally pathetic when you look at that. Today, September 23rd. Today, 4 hours and 35 minutes. So anytime I'm on the phone doing anything. Now, granted, I'll make a little excuse. I text a lot because I communicate with a lot of different people. Bob and I at Bob Jones University, not the Bob Jones, the other Bob. We're going back and forth today. I do all my email stuff on here. I'm always looking on websites and stuff because of the radio show. But still, you sit there and go, 7 hours. That's really mind-boggling to me.
It tracks the number of pickups that we have. And again, there are settings that we can put on our phone to remind us of these kinds of things. So that's a helpful tool.
All right, here's a question down here. This is part of the blog post that Gary wrote that we put the links up for on Facebook Live, and I'll put it on the regular page when we're done. Most importantly, we need to consider how social media affects loving relationships with God and others. Okay, unpack that for us, because I think that's so important.
Yeah, you know, technology, media technology, by its nature, by its very definition, a medium is something that stands between, right? So technology can dehumanize the way that we communicate. So it's easy on social media. We see something we disagree with that makes us angry, that makes us fearful. Returning to this theme, you know, social media knows that's what keeps people engaged, are these emotions of fear and anger. So you see something that you really despise and you hate, and you just quickly respond to it and say something to another image bearer. Even if it's not a believer, we're dehumanizing that person. And it's just a lot easier to do that on technology than it is to do it face-to-face.
Yeah, because that's the interesting thing, Gary. I've talked about this over and over for the last year and a half, as coming out of the election and then COVID and the masking and everything else, is that I call it keyboard courage. There's things that we'll post and say and react online that we would never do in person. At least most of us wouldn't. So when you walk around your daily life, you go to work, you go to the store, whatever, most of the time you don't experience face-to-face communication the same way you do online. Right, online, you're just like, and that's the point that you're making here that I think is so important, is we literally will dehumanize each other online in digital media, which I won't do in face-to-face because there's kind of shame and guilt there because I have to actually look at you.
That's right. There's that tendency that we need to be aware of, that we would communicate that way in that medium that we wouldn't do in person.
Is there a way that we can use digital technology, digital media to enhance our relationships? Because we were just talking about the negative side, but is there a positive?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think of how the church has used it during the pandemic just for people to stay connected, because, you know, isolation is not the way God intended for us to live life. Mm. Now, is that form of technology a replacement for gathering at the church? No, but it's a tool in God's providence that we can use in those kinds of ways. Keeping up with people who are close to you, but physically distanced. Family members, friends, or whatever. Absolutely, there are ways to use this technology to enhance relationships, but it will never replace that face-to-face, that being present with the people who are actually with you.
Right.
Is so important to do.
Right, so help us wrap up on a positive note. We've only got about 45 seconds, but a positive note, encouragement, because it can be a difficult subject. I think we all struggle with it, but how do we finish on a good note?
I would just again come back to recognition that technology is a gift from our good God. Let's be intentional, not just about how we use it, but in an understanding about how it's affecting our lives.
Yeah, so good. Dr. Gary Weir, Provost and Executive Vice President for Academic Affairs at Bob Jones University and Bob Jones Seminary. What a great topic. Thank you so much, Gary, for walking us through this today and doing this blog post. This is something we all need to wrestle with, and it was just awesome. So thank you so much, buddy, for your time.
Privileged to be with you again, Steve.
All right, don't go anywhere because we're going to pray for you right when we finish. And I've got those links up. And by the way, share that with your pastor as well. There's great resources for them. I'll share that. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.